And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on Florida Gator football, he's my good friend there in Jacksonville, David Waters. And you got to check out his podcast. It's great. Gators Breakdown. David, how you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. Preseason magazines are on the shelves and filling out all the forms we got to get filled out for SEC Media Day. So you can definitely tell football is right around the corner.
All right, I will start with this question. Do you want to go to Media Days this year? Because me, look, I know the headlines. I know what's going to happen. What about you, where it's going to be, I believe, in Birmingham next month?
Yeah, of course. You know, first of all, it creates content. So that's first and foremost what we get. But, you know, most of the time it is canned answers. You pretty much know what at least the players are going to say. Sometimes the coaches can give you a little bit more. That's just the natural order of things there. But, you know, we missed it last year, and this is a chance to kind of get back into, you know, it's great for networking along with other media members there. And to be back in, after missing it last year, to be in the graces of the media and the players again. After missing it last year, I can say I'm probably ready for it again.
I think what David's trying to say is he's sick of going on Zoom for interviews.
pretty much.
That's what it is. Well, let's start with content. 2 weeks ago, we learned that Dan Mullen got the contract extension. He's now the fifth paid highest coach in college football. What, third highest in the SEC? What were your thoughts on the extension for Mullen?
Mark, I think it needs to be clarified, too, that this was going to happen last year. But given the pandemic, everything that was going on there, they earmarked it. Florida, of course, you know, didn't feel right about announcing contract work, contract extensions when you know, amidst the pandemic. They rightfully waited and you know announced it a couple weeks ago. But this was going to be done last year after Dan Mullen's first 2 years. And then 2020, you know, you win the SEC East. Disappointing end to the season. So a lot of people were kind of like, oh, why now? After you know, the way Florida ended 2020, it wasn't, you know, now. It was, this had been in the works just now, kind of, you know, with the pandemic maybe on its last legs a little bit. You know, now you can kind of, you know, put out in the public the way your contract works and why Dan Mullen's extended. But you know what? I mean, he's done about everything that you could do as Florida's head coach after Jim McElwain, 2018, 2019, double-digit wins. You won the SEC East in 2020. Yeah, there was a disappointing end to the season, but he's the right coach for Florida. There's nobody out there you're going to get right now that could do any better than what Dan Mullen's doing at Florida. So now, you know, it's about that next step. It's about continuation from 2020. It's time to move on from it's better than it was before. It's time to move on. Oh, it's better than Jim McElwain and Will Muschamp. Absolutely. Dan Mullen's done about everything you could do in his first 3 years. But now it's kind of time to remove ourselves from, you know, it's better than it was before. Now it's time to, this is your roster, these are your recruits. It's time to build on that and make Florida continue year after year in the SEC. And look, he's getting paid like it.
Yes, we're here with David Waters, Gators Breakdown. We've discussed this before, but the plan for Mullen was to get his quarterback in there. Then Kyle Trask happened. Is it like like what we're going to see this fall, doesn't it feel like this is what we should have saw maybe last fall or the year before that?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the crazy thing about college football. You know, Emory Jones comes in as Dan Mullen's first recruit, quarterback recruit in 2018. Never in our wildest dreams did we think it would take till 2021 to see Emory Jones suit up for Florida. And you know, part of that's because Kyle Trask and the evolution of the offense with him and all the playmakers there. So now you're looking at probably a hybrid of that, and then it shifted back a little bit toward more of a run approach on offense, one with a running quarterback, one with a stable of running backs that goes five deep. That's the most interesting camp battle, I think, coming up this fall is that running back position, because Florida has numbers there. And now you're bringing in DeMarcus Bowman, the five-star transfer from Clemson, Lorenzo Lingard, the five-star transfer from Miami, who sparingly played last year, to go along with Damian Pierce, Malik Davis, and Naquan Wright, who played a good bit last year. So that can't battle just because you have two five-stars that you know need to elevate that run game. And it starts with that offensive line and it getting better too. And I think maybe this approach of going back to a run heavy offense. If this is what, you know, when Emory Jones come in, this was the offense we expected to see. It's taking a little bit longer to get there, but you know, given Dan Mullen's history of quarterback development and being able to cater his talent around his quarterback, the offense would be fine in 2020.
Have we even seen a full quarter of Emory Jones, or has it just been just kind of scattered around different plays in his time here?
Yeah, scattered, you know, bringing in for a drive or just a couple plays a drive. You know, probably the biggest pressure point, I'd say, for Emory Jones, and I'm not going to count the Oklahoma Bowl game and the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
The biggest pressure point, remember back in 2019, Kyle Trask, Auburn comes to town, and right before halftime, Florida's only, you know, getting ready to take a drive, and Kyle Trask gets hit. It looks like a pretty nasty injury. They take him to the locker room. Emory Jones comes in and leads Florida down to a field goal right before halftime in a pressure pack, you know, where you need every point matters type of game, and he left Florida down that. You know, there's a lot of pressure on the Emory Jones in that situation, not knowing what the future held for Kyle Trask at that point, and what looked like a bad injury, but he did come back from it. But that was the most pressure packed situation that Emory Jones has been in so far, being able to drive down and with a lot of passing. You know, that's going to be the question is, you know, how far along is he as a passer? And I think you probably go back to that Auburn game in 2019 a little bit to see a little bit of a glimpse. You can go to the Cotton Bowl just a bit too there, but you know, Florida was barely prepared for that game. Three practices going into the Cotton Bowl, a lot of players missing. So, you know, not to really excuse the performance there, but I wouldn't necessarily say you go and look at that to make a determination for what you're going to see for Emory Jones compared to what you saw in that Auburn game in 2019. So I think, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot. It has been scattered, like you said, but he's been developed. He's been groomed for this for the last few years, and look, it's time for him to take off with this offense.
Do you give him credit for sticking it out and waiting for his chance? Because a lot of quarterbacks now go to the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, and who better to learn that patience from than Kyle Trask? Yeah, let's not, you know, kid ourselves. I'm not sure Kyle Trask was going to be this heavily sought-after quarterback as he entered the transfer portal. You know, it probably was best for him to stay up longer and just maybe try to wait out and get that chance, and he got that chance. And I think, you know, Emory Jones saw that. You know, he came in a lot different than Kyle Trask. He was a highly rated recruit. He was committed to Ohio State at one point. But still, as a highly rated recruit, he got to see what patience and what development from one of the best quarterback developers in the country can bring you. And I think, you know, he knew that he's going to have his chance. He knew Kyle Trask wasn't going to hang around after 2020. So he knew he had his chance to come in 2021. And then, you know, we'll see if it's enough production for him to maybe be a one-hit wonder and go to the NFL, or, you know, if he's just on that cusp and wants to come back for another year when Florida probably is bringing back a whole lot more of experience in 2022. Well, you know, we'll see the performance he can come up with in 2021, but a lot of credit for sticking it out when it is, you know, the easy thing and popular thing, and not wrong thing to do, by the way. You know, the transfer portal is not a wrong thing to do for these players, to go out there and try and better themselves and go out there and get an opportunity to make something of themselves. You know, we saw Joe Burrow do it and lead LSU to a national championship. We're seeing JT Daniels getting a whole lot of applause for his transfer to Georgia and what people expect him to do at Georgia this coming year. You know, so you don't fault players for trying to make a better situation for themselves, but Emory Jones gets his chance at Florida in 2021.
We're here with David Waters, Gators Breakdown. Does a great job covering the Gators. Got to subscribe, follow all that stuff online through social media and YouTube. All right, defense. Todd Grantham is coming back. I know that is a lot of groans in the voices of Gator fans, but he is coming back. Does he have a short leash, though, or is Mullen completely on board with him? That's my question.
Ooh, that's a good one, too. The way... I think the leash is pretty far. I don't see a scenario where Mullen makes any decision during the season. Look, and a lot of it's going to hinge on the Alabama game week three.
Yeah.
You know, Florida can go and shut out FAU and USF the first two games. That's barely going to register. It's all going to come down to what are you going to do when Alabama rolls into Gainesville week three. That's what you're graded on. And, you know, for even all the good Todd Grantham did in 2018 and 2019, it was the big games that still seemed the defense couldn't get their head around, especially in 2019. And no fault really of his, 2019 against LSU, That offense lit up everybody. So if you're really going to throw Todd Etheridge under the bus for that, maybe look somewhere else, because they did that to every offense out there. Yeah, but Georgia's offense wasn't that great in 2019, and Florida had a chance. And look, you held them to 24 points. That should have been enough. But, you know, situational football comes into it. In a big game situation, Florida couldn't get off the field on third down. And that kind of seems to be, you know, have been Todd Etheridge's MO. So it all comes down to this defense is going to improve. It's hard not to when as bad as they were last year, but just too much talent. Todd Grant was a good enough defensive coordinator for it to not falter that bad again 2 years in a row. But what do you do versus Alabama? What do you do versus LSU? What do you do versus Georgia? That's what Todd Grant is going to be graded on. And I think Dan Mullen is going to give him the full season, you know, to kind of see and make a decision to go from there. A lot of changes on that side of the ball, especially in the secondary with talent and coaching staff. So some things to figure out in those first two games before Alabama rolls into week 3 or 4, what will be, again, the ultimate judgment for Todd Grantham.
Talking about some of those games on the schedule, the terminology I've used on the air is like they can't hide this year. Because you said no. LSU, Bama, and Georgia. Florida State might be better. This is not like, oh, you know, we could just wait till Halloween weekend, get ready for Georgia. This is a gauntlet of a schedule, man. What's your take?
That, you know, you bring what you with Alabama added as the West opponent. You know, you are now playing historically what are the two best teams in the West, you know, the last few years. That's just, you know, that's just what it is. And we'll see if LSU improves. Yeah. Look, they didn't need to improve last year and they beat Florida, but you expect LSU to be better than what they were last year as well. So you draw what are traditionally in recent history the two toughest opponents out of the West. Georgia's expected to be a top four, top five team. As you said, FSU, we'll see what Mike Norvell could come up with in his second year. But it's also just kind of where and how the schedule falls a little bit. Open up with Florida Atlantic, USF, and then Alabama week 3. But then you get Tennessee the week after Alabama. Even win or lose, how do you respond in that game? If you win, is there a chance for a letdown the very next week? If you lose, are you licking your wounds and woe is me? And, you know, how do you approach win or lose that Alabama game with Tennessee coming in the next week? And then Kentucky, who has given Florida fits the last 2 years. So Bama, Tennessee, Kentucky, back to back to back. Pretty little tough stretch there. And then, you know, of course, Georgia in Jacksonville, Halloween weekend. You go to South Carolina the week after that, a team that has given Florida some trouble. You know, Florida's won those games, but South Carolina has played Florida pretty tough. No matter what offense or quarterback is out there for South Carolina, they've given Todd Grantham's defense trouble since he's been at Florida. So there are some landmines there. And then Missouri the week before Florida State. Kind of a change there. Florida usually has that, you know, weaker cupcake game when they play the week before they play FSU. You go to Missouri late November, so weather could be a factor there, November 20th, and you know, could you have some really, really cold weather, so possibility of snow there, you know, something to look at while Florida maybe not being able to rest their starters a week before that FSU game Thanksgiving weekend.
We're here with David Waters, Gators Breakdown. Yeah, that's going to be fun, all right? I'm ready now. The problem is it's June. We've talked about college football playoff expansion. I know they're going to meet in Chicago over the next couple of days. Did you like what was presented to the committee where we go to 12 and the four teams get a bye at the top? Did you like all that stuff?
First of all, I'd rather stay at four. That's me. I like college football, and I like saying the champion had a great season. I like the difference of the NFL where a team can't necessarily get hot at the end of the season. At least in college football, you know that team had a great season. It may not be the team you wanted. It may not be the team that fully deserved it, but you know that team had a great season, 15 games a whole season. You know that in college football. It's going to be different a little bit now. I'd rather stay at four. At least I know that champion had a great season. With 12, I think too many teams, but I do like if it is going to 12, which it is, and since it is, you know, look at the good in it. I do like the way they present 12 teams. I do like the bye weeks. Yeah, I think you still deserve you reward those teams that had great seasons, so you get them their bye. You know, 5 and 6 have to be conference champions as well. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of incentives to still be a conference champion. So there's still some importance in the regular season. I think the regular season gets devalued a little bit with 12 teams, but I still think they're putting some importance on being the conference champion. So kind of keep the integrity of the regular season a little bit. But I love those first round games. I like that they're playing games on campus, but I think you should reward the top four teams with home games. And I think that's where they messed it up. Don't give those first round teams their home games. Wait till the second round to implement the home game so those top four teams get to host on their campuses. They deserve that from going through a complete season, being a top four team. They deserve the right to host the games, not the teams that are, 5 through 12 and the higher ranked teams out of that. So I think that's probably where they messed it up, is where they placed those home games. But if it had to go to 12 teams, for the most part, I like the way they presented it.
When would this even start? Like 2025? Like what would happen?
Earliest would be, they said they might get it implemented by 2023. That could be the earliest we see it. So only two more seasons of a 14 playoff before they go there. And I think that's probably what this meeting is for. They're going to approve it. And I think now would be you got to figure out the TV part of it. And all the contracts that have been written up already for a 14 playoff, I don't think they'll have any problem. Because, look, this is about money, first and foremost. I don't care what anybody says. It's about money. It's about TV contracts. They'll find a way to rip up those contracts. ESPN will be like, we'll do whatever. This is going to be cause a lot of money for college football. I think they'll figure it out pretty quick in my eyes once they finally decide that the 12 team is the way to go.
Look. We figured out last season in like 2 weeks where the Big Ten's we'll play in October, and Pac-12's like, we'll go in November, whatever. We'll just do this.
I mean, you had Coastal Carolina and BYU, the week of the game figuring it out. Scheduling and stuff, not all that hard either.
This has been my thing, and I know listeners are probably getting sick of me saying this. Look, I'm in the SEC, so the playoff matters to us. But 60% of the country, it's irrelevant. If you're a Pac-12 fan or most of the Big Ten, there's a part of me, I'd go to 6, all 5 conference champions make it, and then have a wild card. Just do that if you're not going to go to 12. Just 6 or 8, I kind of agree. I think 12 might be a little too much, but just get everyone to the party and just make it fair. And if Bama kills them, fine. But everyone's got to come to the party, David. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I'm torn on that. I'm not a big group of five guy. I think the schedules are so unequal when you get that. Yeah, you have a team like Cincinnati this year who plays two Power Five teams. Okay, that's two. In the SEC, in the ACC, in the Big Ten, you got to do that week in and week out. And I'm not going to sit here and say, I know it's not tough every week in and week out. You still have your Vanderbilts. You still have your Wake Forest. You still have your Kansases out there. But it is different, I think, when you have to do it week in and week out there. So, that's kind of why I like the four. And I'll admit, I'm probably the wrong way about it. You probably have some UCF fans in your demographic there. I'm a college football elitist. I think the Power Five and Group of Five should be completely separate champions. I think the Group of Five should have its own little champion, and the Power Five should have its own champion and do it that way. They should still play each other, but I think when it comes time to mentioning a champion and earning a championship, I think they should be separate.
But you know what's scary? And I'm sorry I have to say this to the guy that does Gators Breakdown. The Gators have never been in the top four. They can't get in either. That's the problem.
Oh, right. Right, and that's why some people want the expansion. Since Dan Mullen's been there since 2018, Florida would have been in a 12-team playoff every year.
Yes.
So it is opening up to more teams, and we'll have to see if it's still Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma that still dominate the playoff, or if it does, by opening up this way, do you get some parity?
I don't think they've ever been ranked in the top four of any poll. I could be wrong.
They reached number 3 at one point last year as far as, reaching it. Of course, they didn't hold it. They didn't make the playoff or anything. But they did get up to 3, I believe, toward after the Georgia game and in between the LSU game.
That's a crazy stat. Like, if I would have told you in 2013, the Gators, they'd only be ranked once in the top 4 in the history of the playoff, that is nuts. That is, crazy. I'm sorry I'm depressing everyone. All right, let's end with this. You were saying that it's the magazine season, and I like your old school because I buy the magazines as well. What are they saying about the Gators in some of these mags?
Yeah, that's the only physical piece of reading I still buy. Everything else is digital. But let me see. Athlon, I think, has Florida number 11. Lindy's has Florida 12. So, you know, not top 10 like they were last year. Anyway, pretty much what it comes down to is it's pretty cemented that it's Alabama and Georgia for the SEC this year. So it's a lot of asking the question, can Florida repeat? Can Florida give Georgia a run for their money in the SEC East? And can the defense get better, much like we talked? And how's the transition to offense going to be with Emory Jones? So it's pretty much summarizing it there. Don't think of Florida as a, if you look at all SEC teams there, you know, Florida's number from compared to 2020 to now, there's a lot less when you start looking at players. And a lot of that's based on proven production. So, yeah, I think, you know, they raised a lot of questions. Florida has a lot of questions, not a lot of answers. And I think that's where a lot of these pieces and magazines come in. We know there's a lot of questions. You kind of have to wait for the answers.
Are you going to the actual bookstore to buy the magazine?
I go to Publix and find it there. So.
Now, look, I buy them every year as well. I'm going to keep them from last year as a collector's item where they're completely dated and the schedules are wrong. I love those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do it. You know, we actually just did our preseason magazine episode. That's our most recent episode on Gators Breakdown. So we dove in, and I even went back to last year because my favorite part of those preseason magazines are they have the anonymous – opposing coaches' views and what they think of the teams. And going back from last year where Todd Grantham was lauded to now where Todd Grantham is heavily questioned, it's pretty funny to see.
Should I write my opinion on Gators Breakdown and say, like, I'm the opposing media and give my thoughts on you?
that might be a good way to some more content in another segment there.
I think I deserve a Gators Breakdown t-shirt as being one of the guests ever on your podcast. I think I need to get one. Let's go.
I think we can make that happen. We can make that happen.
That is right. David Waters, thank you so much for your help, man, and have a great day, all right?
Mark, thanks, man.